This morning, my impression is to try to preach some to you from Galatians chapter 6, one of the letters that our beloved Apostle Paul was blessed to write in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6. And I want to notice with you in verse 14, Paul would say, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The Apostle Paul is speaking for himself here, and I hope he's speaking for me. God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was a wonderful man of God, and there were many things in his life that he could have gloried in. For instance, his education. He was one of the best educated men of the first century. Of the 12 apostles that Jesus had, Paul was the only one that was well educated in the schools of men. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the first century. But Paul didn't glory in his education. He could have gloried in his position in the Jewish religion. He said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he didn't glory in his position among the Jews. He could have gloried in the fact that he wrote 14 books in this Bible. I've often said that if I had just written one sentence, I'd have to tell you all about it every time I preached. But Paul wrote 14 books in this Bible that I have before us this morning, and he didn't glory in that. He could have gloried in the fact that he could speak fluently a number of languages. A lot of us struggle with English, but our beloved apostle, according to church history, could speak fluently 7 languages. You reckon we might tend to glory in that if we could? But he didn't glory in that. He could have gloried in his zeal for the kingdom of God, but he didn't. He didn't glory in that. Let's turn back and notice in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthian church, he says in chapter 11 and verse 24, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." The Jews had a law that if you were going to scourge a man, you could only hit him 40 times. So the man giving the whipping would usually stop at 39 for fear he would go over the 40 and be beaten himself. So Paul says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." That's 39 times 5. I think that's like 195 lashes. He received not all at one time, on 5 different occasions. He said, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in the water, in the ocean. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, Paul went through a lot to serve Jesus Christ. I just read that to you. You say, well, now, Brother Sam, why did he tell us all about that if he wasn't glorying in it? The reason the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians about it was because they were questioning his authority as an apostle. They were saying, you're not an apostle. You're not one of the original apostles of Jesus. They were questioning his right to even be called an apostle. So he gives them this list of sufferings that he went through for Jesus' sake to silence them. But he wasn't glorying in it. But he was letting them know what he was willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. So Paul didn't glory in his education. He didn't glory in his religion, the fact that he wrote 14 books in the Bible, or that he suffered so much for Jesus' sake. I've often said this too, if I ever spent one night in jail for Jesus' sake, I'd probably try to work that into every sermon. I'm sad to tell you all that I'm vain, but you know, we are all prone to glory in ourselves, aren't we? Satan will tempt us to brag and to boast. But Paul, this man had grown so much in his spiritual life that all he wanted to do was glory in Jesus Christ. But God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This man wanted to glory in the Lord Jesus and in his cross. Now, why the cross? Why didn't he say, I glory in the birth, the virgin birth of Jesus? Or I glory in all the miracles that Jesus performed? Why the cross? I want you all to stay with me this morning and let's ponder the question, why would the great Apostle Paul glory only in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? The shameful cross. See, beloved, the cross was nothing you would glory in according to nature. It was a shameful death. The Romans would strip a man and scourge him, and then they would nail him to the cross and lift it up from the earth. And in order to shame Jesus, they marched him through the city streets of Jerusalem, where the people could see him and mock him and laugh at him and make fun of him and say, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. If you're the Christ, come down from the cross. The soldiers mocked him. They made fun of him. They crowned him with, I don't know if you saw yesterday, I watched some of the coronation of King Charles. Much ado about a little. But it was there was a lot of pomp and circumstance yesterday in London, England, as they crowned King Charles with a crown filled with all kinds of beautiful stones, rubies and sapphires and diamonds. You know what my Savior was crowned with? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He was crowned with thorns. The soldiers plaited a crown out of thorns. And the thorns in that part of Israel were long thorns. I mean, they would have been almost as long as a 10-penny nail. And they made this crown and placed it on his brow and drove it into the flesh to mock the fact that he said he was the king. They stripped him. They hung him on that cross and they shamed him in every way imaginable. So why would the Apostle Paul say, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why not glory in some of his miracles, like walking on water, or raising Lazarus from the dead, or feeding the thousands? Why not glory in something like that? Why glory in the cross? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, I want to turn over and read that to you this morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, Paul is writing to the Hebrew children who have been converted from Judaism to Christianity, but because of persecution, they're thinking about going back to Judaism. And so Paul is encouraging them to stay with Christianity. So in verse 2 of chapter 12, he says, looking unto Jesus. That's what you and I need to do, beloved. We need to keep looking unto Jesus. Paul didn't say, look at him one time and then go on with life. Looking, the word looking means that you are constantly gazing on Jesus. When you get up in the morning, you need to be thinking about him. All through the day, your mind needs to be on him. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He didn't enjoy it, he endured it, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice what Paul says there. Jesus despised the shame. He was willing to endure the shame that you and I should have endured because of us. So why would Paul say, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? There are many things in this world that people find themselves glorying in. Over in Jeremiah, I want to notice with you in chapter 9 and verse 23. The prophet would say, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah is telling us, when we glory, let's not glory in our wisdom. It's a wonderful thing to be wise. You and I ought to be praying to God daily for wisdom. How many of y'all ever ask God for wisdom from above? How many of y'all need wisdom? Come on. If you don't raise your hand, I still know you need wisdom. I need it. And being wise is a wonderful thing. But we shouldn't glory in our wisdom. Being strong is a wonderful blessing. And I ask God daily for strength for this body. But beloved, even though you might be strong and you're thankful for it, don't glory in it. And then he says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. There's nothing wrong with people being rich as long as they have the right attitude. As long as they own the riches instead of the riches owning them. That's when you get in trouble with money. But he says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Oh, beloved, if you and I are blessed to know the God of this universe, to know that he's real and that he loves us and cares for us and he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us, then we are truly blessed in that respect. But any time any of us start glorying in what we have or what we have done or what our kids have done, I can tell you, you're probably going to be set up for some embarrassment down the road. I like the story I heard many years ago about a mother who went to see her son in the parade. He had joined the army, been through basic training, and now they were having the great day, you know, when they're being recognized after basic training, thousands of young men marching down the city streets, and the mother was there to see her son. And you can understand a mother. And she looked at her husband and said, our boy is the only one in step. Now, if y'all didn't get that, I'll repeat it. you know, it's in our nature, isn't it? I knew a couple who had a son who was a left-handed baseball pitcher. He made it to the big leagues. He was making millions of dollars a year. Now, it'd be hard not to glory in that. But let me tell you ought to be thankful for a son like that. You ought to be thankful for your children. Be thankful for any gift you have. Be thankful for your house, your job, your business. Be thankful. You know, it's wonderful to be thankful, isn't it? Just to go around with a thankful heart, thanking God. But don't ever glory in any of that. Because let me tell you, we are to glory only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's come back now to our text here in Galatians chapter 6. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. A church, Cool Springs Church, and the other churches in this area have a lot to glory in when it comes to our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're not to ever glory in our buildings. We thank God for this building. I remember the old building. Some of y'all do. It was a white frame building, and it was comfortable for its day, but it had problems. And so that generation, I believe it was in 1967, they built this nice building, and we thank God for it. How about y'all today? I remember those old benches in the old church. And I tell you, they didn't hardly know when to quit. They'd start at 11 and just about go to 2. But they loved the Lord and they worshiped Him and probably were more sincere than we are today. But we thank God for this building and those comfortable pews. You know, we thank God, but we don't glory in it, do we? Church buildings are not to be built for show. They are to be built for comfort, where the saints of God, the church of God, can gather, and whether it's raining or whether it's cold, whether it's hot, we can gather in a comfortable building to worship God. The church for the first 3 centuries didn't have buildings. Did you know that? They met in homes, like we'll be doing at Sister Janie's this coming Thursday night. Buildings are a blessing, but we don't glory in them. And we don't glory in our budget. And we don't glory in our baptisms. We thank God for baptisms. I do. And I wish we were having more. But let me tell you, we don't glory in those. Paul would say, God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would this man glory only in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, beloved, first of all, the cross shows us the depth of human sin. It took God coming from heaven to earth to remedy us from our sin problem. Doctors couldn't do it. Lawyers couldn't do it. Armies couldn't do it. Governments couldn't do it. Wise men couldn't do it. Rich men couldn't do it. Only God coming in the flesh and dying on a cross could save us from our sins. There's the depth of our sins. We live in a broken world. I remember a country music song I used to hear way back, and I forget all the words, but the writer was talking about broken dishes, broken plates, broken cups, a broken world. We live in a broken world. When you see what's going on right now in Eastern Europe between Russia and Ukraine, you wonder, why would human beings go to war with one another and slaughter tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, many of them citizens, many of them little children? Why, pray tell me, would human beings go to war? And we've been doing it since the morning of time. We live in a broken world, a sinful world. And that cross with Jesus on it shows us just how deep sin is. And nothing in this world that you and I could do could solve the problem. Secondly, the cross shows us something else. You know what the cross shows us? It shows us the love God had for us. For God so loved the world that He gave what? Gold and silver? He gave His only begotten Son. I've asked this many times from pulpits. May I ask it one more time this morning? Those of us who are parents and have children, do you know anybody you love enough you'd give your child to die for? I don't get any volunteers. Are y'all with me? That's a kind of love you and I cannot comprehend. It's beyond human comprehension that you and I would love somebody enough that we would give one of our children. I remember years ago I was somewhere preaching and a man was sitting up front and I knew he and his wife had 7 kids. And so it just came to me and I asked him publicly, I said, "Dear brother, you got 7 kids. If I was in trouble and it took one of your kids dying for me to save me from my trouble, wouldn't you give me one of, you got 7? Wouldn't you just spare one of them?" And he said out loud, "Brother Sam, you're out of luck." He loved me. He was a brother in Christ. We had spent time together in the house of God. I'd been in their home. He loved me, but not that kind of love. Oh, beloved, the love that God had when He gave His only Son who had been with Him from eternity. And Jesus was not a prodigal. He wasn't a wayward son who had broken his father's heart. But you know what? Parents wouldn't even give a prodigal son, much less one like Jesus. Jesus, the Father said about Him at His baptism, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And yet He would give His perfect sinless Son for a wretch like me. That blows my mind. But you see, the cross shows us that. The cross shows us just how much God loved us. He didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. And beloved, I wish to God Almighty that in some way you and I could every day keep the crucifixion of our Savior close to us and to our minds and wake up with it and rejoice in the suffering of our Savior. Now I want to close with this fact. The reason Paul would glory in the cross is because it was the only way God could save us from our sins. God wanted us with Him in heaven. But the only way He could save us is to give His Son. The blood that flowed in the veins of Jesus was the only thing that could save God's children from their sins. And I believe with all of my heart that when that blood was shed at Calvary, and Jesus, we sung about it this morning, "It is finished." Let me tell you, everyone God wanted Jesus to save was saved in that moment. Every last one of them. The idea that God is going to spend eternity in heaven grieving over the fact that somebody He loved is in hell, that will never happen, beloved. Everyone God wants with Him in glory, He'll have with Him without the loss of one. Jesus will say, "Father, here am I and the children which Thou hast given Me." Wow. You say, "Well, Brother Sam, if Jesus Christ did all that was necessary on the cross to save His people from their sins, then in what sense are we to save ourselves and one another?" We're to save ourselves from this crooked generation that we're in. There's a lot of things in the world today that you and I need to save ourselves from. And Paul identifies them in Galatians chapter 5 when he would say, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, fussing, variance, emulations, which is jealousy, anger, wrath, which is anger, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You and I need to be saving ourselves from those things right here in this world. But only Jesus could save us from our sins for eternity. Thank you for your wonderful attention.